Song, but what a great message. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Take your Bibles, please, and let's go back to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. Now, Isaac has a plan. He sent Esau out to get some venison, go out and go hunting, bring it back and make me that savory meat that I love, that my soul may bless thee before I die, verse 4. Well, in verse 5, Mrs. Rebekah heard of his plan, and she had a plan of her own, and it was to deceive her husband and that that blessing might go to Jacob. She came up with some instructions for Jacob. Look at it in verse 10, verse 10. Verse 9. And now, go now to the flock and fetch me thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will fill me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, not a blessing. His mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go and fetch them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. His mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the goat, put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave him savory meat and bread, which she had prepared in the hand of her son Jacob. Now, she made a plan, and as it turns out, Jacob received the blessing. In chapter 25, verse 23, the prophecy is that the elder would serve the younger. So really, again, God's foreknowledge was involved with this, but there's this deception. Now, what I want you to notice tonight, in the Bible, there's something called a doubtful disputation. It's doubtful. Disputation, it's a dispute, it's a disputing. It's something you're not really fixed on. You know, some things are just as clear, they're just as clear as black and white. Some things, are a little different. And in the verses that follow, as Jacob deceives his father, all through there, it is obvious that Isaac has doubts. But he went ahead with it anyway. And he did something he didn't intend to do. Now, I'm not too hard on Isaac because I can see myself in that. And there have been those times when I was perhaps blindsided or perhaps wasn't prepared or wasn't thinking clearly. And I made a quick decision and later I regretted it. So I want you to notice, please, the doubtful disputations. Romans chapter 14, verse 1 says, Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Don't confuse him with the whole great matter of controversial things that are discussed among the more mature brethren. Doubtful disputations. Look, please, at verse 18. Here's the account, verse 18. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according to all that thou badest me. I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because the Lord hath brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, and that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob came near unto Isaac his father. Remember, his eyesight is gone. His eyesight is bad. Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Verse 25, and he said, Bring it near me, that I may eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near him, and he did eat, and brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Now, watch this. Here's the blessing. Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Verse 29, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. That is basically the Abrahamic covenant. I will curse them that curse thee, and bless them that bless thee. And that's the Abrahamic covenant, and that's what happened. But did you notice all through the text, Isaac had doubts. He had doubts. I ask you to consider that tonight. But first, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness to us. Help us, my Father, to be a people of discernment. And as we face perhaps doubtful things, things perhaps we're not sure of, help us to be wise. Help us to prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. Help us to be steadfast and consistent. I ask you to teach us tonight a simple lesson from this passage, but a hard thing to practice sometimes. My Lord, I love you and thank you. In my Savior's name, amen and amen. Now, for just a moment, notice, please, the many times that Isaac doubted. Okay, look at verse 18. It says, Jacob came unto his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Who are you? I'm not sure. A little while ago, I sent Esau out to get some game and to come back and bring me a meal. Who are you? Who are you? He does not know. And here's the answer, I am Esau. Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Okay, look at verse 20. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly? This doesn't make sense. Something's fishy here. How did you do that so quickly? You went out on a hunt and you brought back game fully prepared in a short period of time. He said, because the Lord thy God brought it me. Verse 21, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. See, he's not sure. He says, oh, let me feel your hands. Let me put my hand on the back of your neck. Esau was a very hairy man, and Jacob was not. Verse 22, and Jacob went near unto his father, and he felt him and said, this the voice. Now watch this. The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Verse 23, and he discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Verse 25, and he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Look at verse 27. And he came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his garment. He came near and he kissed his son. He brought his son near and he kissed him. And meanwhile, he's smelling his garment. And that smells like Esau. That's an outdoorsman. But all the way through there, look, let's see. In verse 18, there's one. In verse 20, there's another. In verse 21, there's another. In verse 24, in verse 22, 24, and 27. Six times, very clearly, he was unsure about this. That's called a doubtful disputation. And the answer is, when you are in doubt, don't act. Wait until you get it settled. You may miss an opportunity here or there, I don't know. But you certainly can miss some problems because you have compromised yourself. Now, not only is there a lesson here about doubtful disputations, but there's also a lesson here about lies. Did you notice? One lie must be covered up with another lie. And that's all the way through the passage. Okay, look at it again. Verse 18. Let's see. Who art thou, my son? Verse 20. Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. What a lie. Verse 20, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Because the Lord thy God brought it me. That's a lie. Verse 21, Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto him. Now, that's not a verbal lie, but it's a deception because he knows that he has the skins of animals on his arms and there's a lot of hair there. And then look at verse 24. Art thou my very son Esau? I'm still not sure about this. And he said, I am. Oh, what a wicked web we weave when we practice to deceive. And one lie requires another lie, and you cover that lie, and you cover that lie, and it leads down a road of deception. And my goodness, it's a terrible thing, terrible thing. So Isaac's deceived. He has doubtful disputations. And Jacob, he's a liar. Got his heart right later, but he's a liar. Let me give you three things tonight. Won't take long. Three things concerning doubtful disputations. When you're faced with something of which you're not sure, number one, don't violate your convictions. Don't violate your convictions. Romans chapter 14, verse 5, Paul said this. He said, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Now here's what he said. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Convictions are really a personal matter. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, convictions, if convictions are based upon the Word of God, then we generally would be like-minded, and we would generally have the same convictions. But it's an individual matter. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, brethren, there's a difference between convictions and preferences. And I have both. I have preferences, and I have convictions. A conviction, it's a belief and a practice based upon an understanding of the Scriptures. It's a conviction. And if you do something with which you're not really fully convinced is right, you can compromise your conviction. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Philippians 4, verse 9, Paul said this. He said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He said, those things which you have both learned and received, you heard something, you were taught something, Paul says, and you received it, and you heard it, and you seen it in me. You've seen me practice it. Then he says this one two-letter word, do. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Now, listen, the great problem in religion in America today is a great many Christians have very little conviction about anything at all. And it's just a sad thing. If you have convictions, you're going to be faced with things like Isaac faced in this passage. If you have convictions, you're going to be faced with things like, do I do this? Do I go here? Do I practice this? And if you have children in your home, you're going to be faced with it so frequently because can the children do this? Can the children do that? Do the children go there? Do the children go there? All those things. You will have a regular practice of discerning things. Now, if you go with every wind of doctrine that comes along, if you go this way and that way, and every fashion that comes along, it won't trouble you at all. And unfortunately, to my regret, I fear that's where so many Christians are tonight. It just really doesn't matter. Just go with whatever is. But if you have convictions, and I want to tell you something, it's people of conviction that make a difference in this old world. Let's see. Those Rechabites back there in the book of Jeremiah. Lord says, bring them in and give them wine. Well, Rechab, their father, told them not to drink wine. But the issue of the passage is not drinking wine. The issue is conviction. And so the Rechabites, they're not even Jews. They're brought in before the priest, and they're given wine. They say, drink ye wine. They say, we won't drink wine. Our father Rechab taught us not to drink wine. He's been gone for generations. We still do not drink wine. And the Lord says, here's the lesson. All this is my paraphrase. You have to look it up. Here's the lesson. Those people that do not know me have strong convictions, and my people do not. If you are led into some compromise, you can compromise your convictions. But you see, that's not the worst of it. When you compromise a conviction, you set a precedent. And then the next time, it's not such a big deal. The next time, it's a little easier just to put it aside and avoid it and not worry about it. Stand fast. Hold that which is good. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. All right, if you are led to some violation of your own convictions, you will compromise your convictions. And you'll also violate your conscience. You know, sometimes you may not have a clear biblical answer to something. I don't really have an example in mind, but you may not have a clear biblical answer, but your conscience is working on. You say, you know, I'm just not comfortable with that. I'm just not convinced that that's the right thing to do. In Acts chapter 23, verse 1, Paul said this. He said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." In Acts 24, verse 16, he said, "Herein do I exercise myself to have always," now listen to this, "I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." And you know, a clear conscience, you can't put a price tag on that. I mean, to lay your head on your pillow at night and know there's nothing between me and my Lord, and there's nothing for which my conscience is pricked between me and my fellow man. I've not done anything. It's such a good thing. Romans 14, verse 23, Paul said this. Listen carefully. "He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now, the example he gives is eating meat offered to idols. And some folks say, "I can't do that. My conviction is that was offered to an idol. I can't eat it." But Paul, in another place, in 1 Corinthians 8, Paul says, "We know that an idol is nothing, and meat offered to an idol is nothing." And he really makes clear that he can eat the meat. He can eat the meat. But he said this in Romans 14, verse 23, "He that doubteth is damned if he eat." That damnation is not eternal damnation, but chastisement in this life and conviction. Now listen to this, "because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Do you know what that means? That means you could have a conviction, may I say, a convicted conscience, a pricked conscience about something, and it's actually not wrong, but you're not sure about it. "And whatsoever is not of faith is sin." If you act upon something that's violating your conscience, and it's actually not wrong, I mean, follow this. If you're violating your conscience, for you it's sin. It's sin. Now, if you can get it cleared up with the Scriptures, I believe, but nonetheless, a conscience. Don't compromise your conviction. Don't violate your conscience. Now, for me, my desire, since I've come to know the Lord, since I've grown in grace just a little bit, my desire is to stand firm on solid Bible principles and to practice good convictions and to have a clear conscience. What has gotten me in the past is when I encountered something for which I wasn't really prepared. I wasn't expecting it. And I made a decision quickly and later regretted that. Now, there's one other matter I'd give you. Doubtful disputations. If you're uncertain about something, you can compromise your convictions. You can violate your conscience. But also consider your testimony and your reputation. Consideration. Consider others. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Paul said, "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know and we have knowledge." And he said, "Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." He said, you have knowledge. Knowledge makes people proud. It does. But charity edifieth. Love edifieth. It makes you want to care for others. He goes on, and in verse 4, this is 1 Corinthians 8, verse 4. He says, "As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one." We know that an idol is nothing. Then in verse 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, "Meat commendeth us not to God, neither, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse." He said, whether you eat the meat offered to an idol. Now apparently, historically, they would offer meat to idols and then they'd sell it in the market. Paul says the meat really is not important. I mean, the fact of how it was sacrificed, an idol is nothing. And the meat offered, it doesn't add anything to you, doesn't take anything away from you. But then he made this statement. Now listen, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8. He said, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Don't let your exercise of your liberty be perhaps a stumbling block to some other believer. And then he said this as well, the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 8:13, he said, wherefore? Now here's a man that was willing to use his liberty even against his own desires and knowledge. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Doubtful disputations. If you are careless or maybe caught off guard, I don't know what to say, and you do something that you know is doubtful, you're not fixed in your mind, it's not clear, you can compromise your convictions, you can violate your conscience, and you can cause some other brother to stumble. And I don't know a better example of it than Isaac in Genesis chapter 27. Doubtful disputations. Years ago, there was a patch of pirate adventure. It was called Custer's Last Stand. Anybody remember Custer's Last Stand? And there was a song on that one. Says, if it's doubtful, don't do it. Take time to pray and think through it. If it's doubtful, don't do it. Better change your way and think through it. If it's doubtful, don't do it. Maybe you can do it later because you've gotten it settled. Maybe it's no longer doubtful. Maybe you should have avoided it all along. But if it's doubtful for right now, just pause. Just hold. If it's doubtful, don't do it. Stand with me, please, for prayer. Thank you so much. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. There's certainly nothing new in my message tonight, but it is something that we all face every single day. If you know the Lord tonight and you are a Bible believer and you endeavor to live by Bible principles, your personal convictions are going to collide with the modern popular culture, and you've got to take a stand. You've got to determine, is this really worth it? Do I really believe it? And you've got to take a stand. We're to be gracious. We're to be polite. We're to be amiable. But we're to be firm in our convictions. God help us to do that. But you might be here tonight and you're not fixed on your convictions. Maybe you view this by live stream or later by recording. And you are of this modern mindset that you just go along with this, that, or the other. Everybody's doing it. Well, I ask you to consider biblical convictions. But that begins with an assurance of salvation, and that begins with a firm conviction about the gospel. The gospel is the grace of God extended to all men through the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary's cross, and it is received by faith. No compromise. Not faith plus works. Have you responded to the gospel? I look at my people tonight, and I know your testimonies. Have you responded to the gospel? God knows your hearts. Has there been a time in your life when you understood the gospel and you made a decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know this. Without conversion, there is no genuine Christianity. There's religion in the world that's called Christianity, but without conversion, you must be born again. Without conversion, there's no genuine Christianity. That's where your conviction starts, right there. Your conviction starts right there. But I'll tell you, the greatest demonstration of conviction was the Lord Jesus Christ. And consider what He faced. Consider our Savior looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Our Father in heaven, thank You for this day. Thank You for this evening. Thank You for what we've read and what we've learned, maybe what we've been simply reaffirm from Genesis chapter 27. But Father, I ask you to help us to apply well what we know. I ask you to help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your work. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be consistent. Help us to sincerely consider matters and help us to develop convictions based upon biblical principles. I ask you now, my Father, to bless this time of prayer and invitation, and I ask you to work your will in our hearts and our lives. This I ask in my Savior's name. Every head bowed, please, every eye closed, as our pianist plays a hymn of invitation. Brethren, let's examine ourselves and let's just simply obey what we know. Let's be what God would have us to be. If you need someone to pray with you, there is someone available.